God is revealed by himself in the scriptures, has no dark side. Star Wars has a wrong view of God. There's not even an undercurrent of evil with the true and the living God. And he, James says, does not, never leads us to do evil. In fact, to the contrary, he's perfect in goodness. He is the giver of every gift that is good and perfect. And James says that includes the gift of eternal life, given by his free and sovereign grace, even while we were enemies. And he has done that through his word, which is truth. The goodness of God and the spiritual life given to us by grace, resulting in new life, a new relationship with God, has consequences. Verse 19, James says, therefore, because these things are true, because of who God is, because of what God has done in your heart, giving you life through his word, therefore. That word therefore simply means for this reason. Because evil resides in you and not in God. Because God, in his goodness, has given you eternal life. Because the enticement to sin comes from your heart. Therefore, you should reflect your heavenly Father. The new birth should be followed by an expression of new life. Notice James again refers to their fellowship with him in Christ. We probably just kind of zipped over this phrase, but James says, my beloved brethren. He's addressing the family of God. Now, we're familiar with the term brethren. It's often used in the New Testament of other believers. Brothers. Brethren, plural. Fellow believers in Jesus Christ. But notice how James makes it so personal, so intimate, so enduring. He says, my brethren. Not just brethren over here, but my brethren. And then he adds one more word, and that's the word beloved. This word beloved comes from the Greek word you're familiar with, agape. This is not just an affectionate love, but this is a love of the heart and the will. My beloved brethren, listen. There are consequences to what God has done in our heart and in our life. And he says this, the first consequence is you need to be swift to hear. It's an imperative, it's a command. And although he's been speaking in the plural, here he speaks in the singular. You, as a specific individual, you be swift to hear. And in the context, the reference is to the word of truth. That word of truth through which God has given you life, be swift to hear. Again and again in the Old Testament, the sin of Israel was that they would not hear, would not listen, and would not obey the word of God. Listen to Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. What a condemnation for the people of God. Ezekiel 12:2, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. which has eyes to see but does not see, ears to hear but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. Zechariah the prophet, chapter 7, verse 11, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Throughout history, Israel resisted God's word of truth that gives life. The first advent, the Son of the living God comes to earth and preaches and teaches with words of grace and truth. But they were no better at hearing the Son of God himself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal. The natural heart of man does not want to hear the word of truth from the living God. But God in His grace has given life to us through His Word. And we who have this new life from a loving God should be swift to hear Him speak to us through His Word. That word swift means what it sounds like. It means speedy or quick. Those who have been born again from above by the Spirit of God should not be like the Israelites of old. Rather, we should be eager to hear from God. We should be eager, swift, to hear God speak to us from His Word, the Word of truth. The world takes no thought of biblical truth. In fact, usually ridicules it, scoffs at it, mocks it. But those who are in Christ, who have been given new life through that word, should have a different attitude. We should desire to hear from God. We should be eager to hear from our Heavenly Father. True believers are to have ears to hear that word of truth from the living God. Do you actually listen to the preaching of God's word? 1 Peter 1, verse 25, the Apostle Peter says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. God's word, which is truth, is eternal truth. It lives forever. And then he adds this. Now this is the word which, by the gospel, was preached to you. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. God works uniquely, graciously through the preached word. We've talked about this before. It's not the preacher. It's not the eloquence of the pastor. It is God working miraculously through the preaching of the Word of God, which is truth, and through it transforming lives. Preaching is a means of grace. It is a means of saving grace, as Peter put it, but it's also a means of sanctifying grace. That is, helping believers, helping Christians grow in understanding and in their relationship with the Father. Every believer needs to be a careful listener to the preaching of the Word. Parents need to help their children listen carefully to the preaching of the word. A part of being swift to hear is also having a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is one of humility, of understanding the limited grasp of eternal truth that we have. A growing Christian is always learning, no matter how old, no matter how educated. A growing Christian is always seeking greater understanding of the Scriptures. When we stop learning, we stop growing. It's a repeated concern of the Bible. It's a concern of the book of Proverbs. I'll give you three quick ones. Proverbs 6:23. The commandment of God, that is God's word of truth, written, is a lamp. And the law, that is God's law, God's commandments, a light. Proverbs 8:10. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Receive my instruction and not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. And he's referencing the knowledge of God's word, the instruction of God's word. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. You're familiar with Psalm 19. David here extols the importance of God's word. I just read a couple of stanzas beginning with verse 7. David says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold to the people of God. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. No one is above the need for instruction from God and from God's word." On a number of occasions, I've been surprised by what I have learned from Christians who were literally uneducated. But they were true Christians who meditated and thought on God's word and came to understand things that I hadn't seen and instructed me. There are many ways that you can hear the word of God in addition to preaching. But we need to be eager listeners. We need to be swift to hear God's truth. We need to be like the Roman centurion, Cornelius. When the apostle Peter arrived at his house to bring him the word of God, this is what Cornelius said. He said, "We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." And he was converted. There are many ways, yes, that you can hear in addition to preaching. Your personal Bible reading, quiet time, times with God, family worship, reading of good books. But James is saying that those who have been born again by the word of truth, by the Spirit of God, are to be eager to hear that word of truth. There's going to be, Peter uses the term as babes, a desire for that milk of the word. At the same time, James adds something interesting. We're to be slow to speak. This word, slow, it's a verb that means to hesitate or to delay. And James is drawing a contrast here. We are to be eager and without hesitation listening to God's word, while we are to be careful, even hesitant, to speak. Benjamin Disraeli said of an acquaintance, he's intoxicated with the exuberance of his own verbosity. Too many people like to hear their own voices, thinking they're filled with wisdom and truth, and so they fall into the sin of talking too much, too often, too long. But James is saying we need to hear more, we need to listen better, and speak less. We need to speak less about ourselves, we need to speak less about others. This is what Jesus warns in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He says, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Christian, you need to humbly listen more. You need to learn and have a teachable spirit and speak less. I will often look at comments online in regards to articles I might read. And what's interesting is how often the comments reflect poorly upon the writer who have not engaged their minds before writing. I found this true in theological discussions online. People comment dogmatically without knowledge, and sometimes I think without thought. And this isn't because I disagree with the point, sometimes I do, but it's that people lack understanding about the word of truth. And yet with no humility, they write harshly and sometimes derisively of others. And they need to learn to be slow to speak, or slow to write online. Again and again, Scripture warns us to be careful of our speech. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Proverbs 21:23, moreover, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Those are pretty harsh words. In chapter 3, James even warns, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. God wants you to be careful about your speech, to be slow to speak. And in the context, this particularly relates to spiritual things, to doctrinal things, to biblical things, to the word of truth. James also then goes on to say, we are also to be slow to wrath. And the context relates to anger about God's word. Debate and careless words can lead to heated anger, or even anger toward God or toward what God says. Some Christians, for example, become angry at certain doctrines, like taught by James in verse 18, that a sovereign God gives birth of his will to those whom he will, the doctrine of election. But there is a lot of anger today at things that God says, God's word of truth says, in his commandments regarding families, about sex, about transgenders. These are not neutral things. God's word is clear. And those who are under the influence of Satan and the world can rise up in anger against what God says. And sometimes God's people can be influenced in that direction as well. This kind of anger does not promote righteousness, James says. God is not heard and God is not glorified. There's an instructive example of this in the Old Testament. There was a Syrian general by the name of Naaman, and he had leprosy. And he had a slave girl in his household from Israel. And the slave girl suggested to the general's wife, her mistress, that Israel's prophet could heal the general. Well, Naaman had no other option, so he went to Israel and he ends up in front of the prophet Elisha's house. And Elisha does not even come out to greet him, but sends a servant out to him. And the servant simply tells him to go down to the River Jordan and wash 7 times, and he'll be healed. Well, 2 Kings chapter 5 tells us that Naaman became furious, and a little later it says he was in a rage. Just the opposite of what James says our attitude should be towards the Word of God. He was furious at what God told him to do. And he left and he headed toward home. And the servant said, "Sir, you know, if he'd asked you to do a hard thing, you would have done it. He asked you to do a simple thing. Just go wash in the river. Why not do it?" And the servant persuaded him, and so he went down to the Jordan River that he said was nothing like the beautiful, pure rivers coming out of the mountains of Syria. And he went down and he washed 7 times, and he was healed. But we also learn in the story that as a result of this, he was converted. And he went back to Syria. And we're told that he only worshiped the true and the living God from then on. The larger context is that our response to the word of truth should not be anger, should not be, "Well, I think differently." We are to be submissive to the word of God. We are to readily hear it. We are to receive it. We are to obey it and not respond in anger and disbelief, like Naaman did to start with. The larger application would be that Christians are always to be slow in becoming angry. We should not be easily provoked, as 1 Corinthians 13 admonishes us. We should not quickly fly off the handle. James says that this does not produce righteousness, because it hinders us from hearing the voice of God through his word. So what should be our attitude? Verse 21. He says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." We need to lay aside, Christian, the sins of not having ears to hear God's word, of thinking too much of our own reasoning, of our own logic, of our own word. They're being angry toward God and his commandments and his guidance for our lives. James calls such wickedness literally dirty and abundant evil. He says, lay it aside. It's the same word and the same idea that the Apostle Paul expresses in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And he's talking about sins of the old man. And he says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lusts. And the picture is taking off a dirty coat and casting it aside. Instead of the sinful attitude of arrogance and resistance to God's word, we are to cast it off, take it off and throw it aside. And we are to put on in its place a teachable spirit toward the things of God, specifically the word of truth. James is saying that a faithful believer who has been born again by the sovereign will of God, chosen by God, made by God's power, his child, should not reflect the world, should not reflect the attitude of the world towards God's commandments and God's word, but rather should have a spirit of meekness. Meekness simply means gentleness. Rather than arrogance, rather than anger, we're to meekly submit to the word of truth that gives life. The psalmist, Psalm 25:9 says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." And you use the same word, James does. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." God calls upon you to listen to him, to have ears to hear what he would teach you, to respond to him not in anger, but in meekness and gentleness and submission like a child, full of faith. To receive God's word that has been implanted in you by the Spirit of God and that has power to save your soul, but more than that, to bless your life and the life of your family. God gives us salvation through the word of truth, verse 18. But he also sanctifies us through the word of truth. I would understand verse 21 using the same imagery as verse 18, but speaking of the issue which is on James' heart for his beloved brethren, that we live out the faith, being doers of the word, active, obedient disciples of Jesus Christ, growing in grace, growing in Christ-likeness, becoming more and more in our thinking as well as in our conduct like Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isaac Watts wrote, "Thy noblest wonders here we view in souls renewed and sins forgiven. Lord, cleanse my sins, my soul renew, and make thy word my guide to heaven." Christian, God calls upon you to submit to his word with meekness, with humility, with ears to hear what he would instruct you. Hear what he says. Allow God's word and God's spirit to correct your life, your thinking, your actions. Allow it to conform you to the image of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?